Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning class at the Youngest of Woodmere. After a little bit of a hiatus, it's nice to see everyone back. We missed two classes, but it's actually been 3 weeks. So Baruch Hashem, we are back to our learning. So I am going to begin with current events. I'm quoting from the Times of Israel website. The four people killed by an Arab Israeli knife man in the Be'er Sheva terror attack on Tuesday afternoon were named as Doris Yabas, 49, a mother of three children, Laura Yitzchak, 43, also a mother of three children, Rabbi Moshe Kravitsky, 48, a father of four, and Menachem Yecheskel, 67, a brother to four. Doris Yabas, the 49-year-old woman, was from Moshav Gilat, west of Be'er Sheva. She is survived by her husband and children. Her funeral was yesterday, Wednesday, at the Gilat Cemetery. Yabas's nephew, in a difficult twist of fate, Yisrael Ozen, is a paramedic from Magen David Adom. He rushed to the scene of the stabbing where he discovered that the victim he was working on was his own aunt. While giving treatment, I noticed this was my aunt, my mother's sister, he said. Yabas, who was stabbed at the entrance to a clothing shop, was already showing no vital signs and medics were forced to declare her death. I was shocked, he admitted, but he said he could not linger and needed to attend to his uncle, his aunt's husband, who had arrived at the scene. Another victim was Menashe Yecheskel, 67 years old, a resident of Be'er Sheva. He leaves behind four siblings. He never bothered anyone, said his nephew. He just went out for a walk. This is a heavy blow, a terrible tragedy. His funeral was also Wednesday in Be'er Sheva. Moshe Kravitsky, around age 50, was killed when the attacker rammed the bicycle he was riding with the car. He was the director of the Chabad house in the city. For more than a decade, he ran the synagogue in the Nachal Beka neighborhood in Be'er Sheva. He also ran the local soup kitchen, which fed the needy and the elderly. His funeral would be held Wednesday, giving time for family living abroad to arrive in the country. Rabbi Shneur Zalman Gerlich, the top Chabad emissary in Be'er Sheva, said he was so dedicated to his mission. He put all of his efforts into the Nachal Beka community, the synagogue, and the soup kitchen. He took care of them in the rain and the wind. The residents remember his wide smile and great giving. We are in shock and greatly pained at the bitter news. Laura Yitzchak was the sister of a police officer serving at the local Be'er Sheva station. He was called to attend to the scene of the stabbing. She was 43 years old. Police Chief Kobi Shabtai later called the officer to give his personal condolences and extend support to the bereaved family. A family relative said she was an impressive woman. Amazing. She gave all to raise her daughters. She was entirely full of love and giving. Anyone who met her received only love and compassion. She was on her way to meet her husband when she was stabbed at the gas station. She was the first of four victims of the terrorist rampage. Video of the gas station cameras, video of the incident shows the attacker running up behind her and stabbing her multiple times as she tried to fight him off. He then continued to plunge the knife into her even after she had fallen to the ground. He then headed to the shopping mall in the city where he continued his attack. He was eventually confronted by an armed bus driver who attempted to get him to lower his weapon. The attacker lunged at the driver and then he was shot. He was 34 years old. He was a terror convict from the Bedouin town in the Negev. He died of his gunshot wounds at the scene. He had served 4 years in Israeli prison for planning to join ISIS in Syria. He was released in 2019. And in March of 2022, he killed four Jews. Two 40-something-year-old women, mother of three, mothers of three, a 67-year-old man, a brother to four, and a Chabad rabbi who ran the local shul as well as the soup kitchen for the needy and the elderly in the city. I'm going to begin with a story from the book called Heroes of Faith by Rabbi David Hoffman. The misery of ghetto life is well documented. Food was scarce and overcrowding was prevalent. Disease ravaged the downtrodden Jews who moved about in a trance-like state from place to place with nothing to do to pass the time. A stench of death was everywhere. Death lurked in every corner of the ghetto and touched everyone, from elderly Jews to young innocent babies who languished in the streets and eventually succumbed to starvation. Death swirled about. Unfortunately, he didn't have to search very hard, and victims practically came to him. The story goes on about the children in the ghetto, the younger children who were resourceful and would try and smuggle food, who had some more energy and who would try and smuggle, etc., and help out when they could. The story moves forward about a certain young child. He was becoming something of a folk hero. People were talking about him. It was time to do something about this child. They issued a reward for the capture of the child. They began their own operation, the Nazis, to catch the boy. They monitored the children. They tracked their movement. They were reasonably sure that they had the right boy. The boy was caught. A larger than necessary group of soldiers hauled the child away to the Gestapo headquarters. Victoriously, the soldiers entered the Gestapo building and they dumped the crying boy on the floor in front of the Nazi chief. He jumped up the child and began pleading for his life. He played the part of a young child who had lost his entire family, who had not eaten in days. The whole thing was just a game. Surely he was not a danger to the Nazis. The Gestapo chief smiled throughout the child's speech. Was this boy dangerous? But to the Nazi way of thinking, a victim is a victim, and if he is a Jewish victim, it made it all the more worthwhile to mete out a cruel and harsh punishment. The Nazi Gestapo chief said, "It's a game. It was all a game. If it is a game that you seek, how about we play a game of our own?" The boy shifted nervously in place. A Nazi game was unlike a normal game, but what choice did the child have? The Gestapo chief pulled off his cap. "I will tell you a little secret," he said to the child. "At the beginning of this war, I was a soldier battling on the front lines. During one skirmish, I was hit by shrapnel and it damaged one of my eyes. The eye was lost, but I was taken to the best medical facility in Berlin, and the doctors gave me a glass eye. It is the most perfect eye, and the doctors told me no one would ever be able to distinguish between my real eye and my glass eye." "You like games?" said the Gestapo chief. "Here is my game. If you can tell me which is my real eye and which is my glass eye, I will let you live. If you cannot, I will shoot you." The soldiers standing around burst into howls of laughter. But the boy understood this was no game, and he gazed intently into the Gestapo chief's eyes. In a few seconds, he pointed to one eye and he said, "That's the glass eye." Instantly, the smile vanished off the chief's face. "How did you know? How can you tell so quickly? If it was just a guess, I will kill you right now." The boy was composed. "It was not hard to tell," he said. "I looked into your eyes and I saw that one eye was deadly and cold. It had an expression that was totally devoid of humanity. It bespoke murder, and animalistic impulses to kill. When I saw that eye, I knew that the other one was the glass eye." Today's shiur is on a section of the Haggadah that we don't talk so much about. We are within the period of Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag. My plan is, but you never know, so this is totally Bli Neder. Today, yes, it's written. Next week and the week after. Today we have two more classes, the Thursday Erev Yantif. We do not have Shir. I don't think anyone's going to need a reminder. I think you're all going to know that. To do different sections from the Haggadah over the today and over the next 2 weeks, that is Bli Neder, but we will be prepared with Pesach insights and Leil Seder insights. So we're going to talk about a piece of the Haggadah that we don't really speak so much about. And it was the impetus, unfortunately, for this shiur was current events out of Eretz Yisrael this week, which is how I began Shir with the four Rachmana Litzlan Jews who were murdered in cold blood simply for being Jews in Medina Yisrael. After we bench Birkas HaMazon on Leil HaSeder, we drink the cup of wine, a benching, and then the fourth cup is poured. According to most customs, the Koshel Eliyahu is poured at this point as well, at which point the door is opened, and the following paragraph is recited between Birkas HaMazon and Halal. The following paragraph is recited. Shvoch Hamascha al Hagayim Asher lo yida'ucha, pour your wrath upon the nations that do not know you, va'al mamlachos asher b'shimcha lo karahu, and upon the kingdoms that do not call out in your name, ki achal es Yaakov, they consume Yaakov, which we saw this past Tuesday, Rachmana Litzlan, the Esnaveu Hashemu, and they lay waste his habitation. That is a capital from Tehillim, in Tehillim Ayin Tes. Then we continue. Shvoch Aleihem Za'amecha, pour upon them your wrath, V'charon Apcha, and the fury, your fury, Yasigem, should reach them. That is also from Tehillim, chapter 69. Tirdof Ba'af, pursue them, chase them with anger, v'sashmidem, and destroy them, mitachas shemei Hashem. So it's something that we're all familiar with. It is a prayer and a plea that God should destroy the nations who rise up to destroy us and who do not recognize the sovereignty of the Ribono Shel Olam. It is recited between Birkas HaMazon and right before we recite Halal. So I'm going to read it again. I translated it already. And I gave you the sources of where we're quoting from. Actually, the last pasuk I forgot to tell you, Tiradof Ba'af Sashmi Demitach Shmei Hashem, is a pasuk from Echa Perek Gimel. So it's two pasukim from Tehillim and one pasuk from Echa. Shvoch Hamascha El Hagayim Asher Lo Yida'ucha Va'am Amlachos Asher B'shim Chalo Kara'u Ki Ochal Es Yaakov Ve'es Naveyu Hashemu Shvoch Aleihem Za'amecha V'charon Apcha Yasigim Tirdof Ba'af V'sashmide Mitachas Shmei Hashem. And then we move into Halal, Lo Lanu Hashem, Lo Lanu. The first two kapitach of Halal are recited as part of Magid, and then we have the Mia, and then we bench, and then we recite the rest of the Halal. So we see that we can't truly praise God. And this second half of Halal refers to the ultimate redemption. The first half of Halal, not really half, but the first paragraphs of Halal that we recite as part of Magid are the thanks for Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now that we have finished those story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we move into the final section of the Haggadah, which is referring to the ultimate redemption. And we see that we cannot really ultimately praise the Ribono Shel Olam while these evil elements still exist in our world. And therefore, before we recite the completion of Halal, we utter a prayer to the Ribono Shel Olam to destroy these nations. And once they are destroyed, we will truly be able to complete the Halal, the full praise of the Ribono Shel Olam. I begin with Rabbi Eliyahu Kitov. He gives an extremely interesting, in the Kitov Haggadah, which is one of my favorite Haggadahs. It's Feldheim. It's published both in English and in Hebrew. I use the Hebrew one at the Seder. I also have it in English. I really love the Kitov Haggadah. Rabbi Eliyahu Kitov says as follows. What's with the opening the door? You know, I'm sure in your house, I hope, right? You also open the door at this point and Eliyahu Lam is coming in. Okay, in the days of the temple, I have a new phone. I did this last night also. I just want to make sure that my recorder is working. It is, okay. In the days of the temple, the meat of each Pesach offering could only be eaten. When was it eaten? It was eaten at night. It was shechted that afternoon, Bein Ha'arbayim, going back to Parshas Bo, Perek Yud Beis. And then they sat around at night eating the Korban Pesach, and it was eaten in a chabura. Rav Salvechik says that the term chabura was coined around the Korban Pesach. It was eaten by groups, and it could only be eaten by those who were counted upon the Korban Pesach from before it was shechted. You couldn't come once it was shechted and say, I want to be part of that group. But michsas nefashos tachosu alases is the pasuk in the beginning of Perek Yud Beis. You go to your neighbor, hashachin ekarvel beiso, and you ask, how many people are you? How many people are we? Can we all eat the whole Korban Pesach? Because you're not allowed to have any left over. And those people are counted on the Korban Pesach, and you can't come join. You know, you can't go at 10 o'clock at night and say, oh, I forgot to be part of a chabura. I forgot to join. I happen to not have a Korban Pesach. Could I come to you? So it was Ian on Leah HaSeder in the group by which you were counted on before the animal was already designated. Thus, in the days when the temple stood, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the doors of the homes were locked on Leah HaSeder, so that those who were not counted on the group offering could not come in off the street and partake. You davka locked the door to show this group is complete. This group is finished. We cannot welcome anybody else in right now. That was the halacha. It had to be that you had to be counted before. When the meat of the Korban Pesach had been completely consumed, you're not allowed to leave any meat over. That's why you have to make sure if you're too few people, if there are too few people in the house, what do? That's when you go to your neighbor. Once the meat of the Korban Pesach had been completely consumed, the people would unlock their doors and open them wide to make up for what they had done, and now they were giving honor to those who were passerby. Thus, this very novel and unique idea that I didn't see brought down anywhere else, thus we observe the practice of opening the door at the end of the meal to a remembrance of the ancient practice. In other words, halachically, they had to close the door because you weren't allowed to join. Now, you might not think it's nice, too bad. That's what Hashem said. So it doesn't matter if you like it or you don't like it. God said you can't join after a certain point. But once we finish the meal, we show we are really people who are machnisei archim. Now we open the door again because the meat has been finished. Now whoever wants can come back into my house. So too, after we eat the afikomen is the remembrance of the Korban Pesach and maftir mechar Pesach afikomen. You're not even allowed to use mouthwash on Leah HaSeder. Okay, I learned that a few years ago. So be very, very careful. The taste of the afikomen and has to stay in your mouth. So it's a remembrance of the Korban Pesach. We finish the Afikomen by Tzafun. Then we bench. What do after? We open the door in remembrance of this ancient custom that after they finish the Korban Pesach, they open the door. Then he gives another beautiful reason, quoting the Minchas Tzion. Eliyahu Kitov is beautiful. If you've never learned from Mitzia, Sefer Toda'ah, the Book of Our Heritage, which goes through all the months of the year, the Haggadahs are really beautiful. I use the Hebrew language on it. It's not difficult to understand Hebrew at my Seder table. And I also have the English one. It's nice to read over Pesach. There are many, many insights and many essays and many Divrei Torah. He always quotes where he's quoting from. So the next source is quoting from Minchas Tzion. This is so interesting. Also very unique idea. When Yaakov Avinu, we're going back to Parshas Toldos, Peruch of Zion, came before Yitzchak Avinu in order to receive the blessings, which Yitzchak thought he was going to give to Esav, his elder son, it was Seder night. And Yaakov came with, what did his mother say? Take shnei gidiyei izim, take two kid goats. They represented the Korban Pesach and the Korban Chagiga, the festival offering. He also brought his father wine, alluding to the mitzvah of Arba Kosos. Afterwards, Esav arrived. Esav came in the hope of receiving the blessings. His father had already eaten from the two korbanos, so to speak, and he had already drunk the wine. And he writes, Kitov writes, so when Esav arrived, Yitzchak was reciting Shvach HaMascha. When Esav opened the door, Yaakov hid behind it and slipped out quickly as Esav passed by inside. Esav never saw him. Proposes the Minchas Tzion as quoted by Kitov. Perhaps this is why we say Shvach HaMascha as we open the door of the house. So I thought that these two ideas were extremely interesting chedushim and very interesting insights. The first being the door had to be closed because no one could come in to partake of the Korban Pesach. When you finish the meat of the Korban Pesach, once again you open your door to show that really Knesset Yisrael are people of Hachnasas Archim. Once we finish the Afikomen, we open the door. The Afikomen is a remembrance of the Korban Pesach. We open the door to show we're welcoming you inside of our home. Second reason is so interesting. It was Leah HaSeder when Yaakov took the blessings, told us, Perech of Zayin, from his father Yitzchak. That's why he brought two kid goats, because one was for Korban Pesach, one was for Chagiga. Plus he gave him wine, Kenegat the Arba Kosos. And after he completed that, he was saying, Shvach HaMascha. When Esav came, Yaakov slipped out through the open door. And so we say, we open the door to commemorate this event when Yaakov Avinu got the brachos. And Shvach HaMascha, of course, is referring to Esav and his descendants. B'chol dor v'dor amdi malenu l'chaloseinu. Now I move to an insight from Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, Zatzal. He says something also very, very beautiful. The Kol Shel Eliyahu, which is poured at this point in the Seder, right? The Kosher Eliyahu, whereas each participant in the Seder drinks from his own cup, so everyone on the Al HaSeder, you each have your own kos when Kiddush is made, by Magid, by Birkas HaMazon, then by Halal, you each have your own one of the Arba Kosos. The cup of Eliyahu is traditionally a large center kos that goes in the middle of the table. You don't all have your own Kosher Eliyahu, and many have the custom that it is shared by all. I'm not touching upon the fact that it really represents the fifth Lashon of Geula. I think people are very familiar with that, so I'm not spending time on something we're pretty familiar with. There are really five Lashonas of Geula in the beginning of Parshas Va'era, Perek Vav of Shemos. We drink four cups of wine, Vehevesi, the fifth cup, we're still waiting for the Vehevesi, and that is the Kosher Eliyahu, Zachor Latov. Okay, I'm not touching upon that because I think that it's something that is very familiar, and I wanted to bring new insights that perhaps we are not so familiar with. So going back to Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, as opposed to everyone having an individual kos, when it comes to the Kosher Eliyahu, you put a special cup that is larger in the middle of the table, and that is poured for Eliyahu. Once the cup of Eliyahu is filled to the brim, the door of the house is thrown open. We just gave two very interesting reasons from Kitov Haggadah. Perhaps now he offers a different reason, Rabbi Dr. Twersky, perhaps to symbolize our inviting the spirit of the prophet who is the harbinger of the ultimate redemption. Tradition has it that Eliyahu drinks from this cup. I'm sure we're all familiar with this as well, but he's going to give a chiddush, which is why I'm bringing this piece to you, whose contents is then distributed amongst all the Seder participants. What's the symbolism here? What's going on? Until now, we've had individual cups, and now we're having a shared cup. So Rabbi Dr. Twersky says, you know, he has such a unique way of offering Torah insights. His insights are so emotionally in tune with the human experience, based on the fact that he was not just a rabbi, but he was also primarily a doctor. Our individual cups of life may differ, some being more fortunate, some less so. So when you drink your own individual cup of wine, it represents your own life experience. And everyone has, even within a family unit, you each have your own individual life experience. But if we remain totally distinct, totally separate, and you only experience the HaSeder through your own cup of wine, you are not bringing yourself any closer to the redemption. Remember, at this point, it's right before the Halal HaGadol, and we already said that this section of Halal, this is based on my studies of Rav Soloveitchik, this section of Halal refers to the ultimate Geula. So we're transitioning from Geulas Mitzrayim at this point to celebrating the ultimate Geula. We introduce it with the Kosher Eliyahu. If you want to bring yourself closer to the ultimate redemption, you cannot remain unique, divided, separate from each other. When we drink of a single cup, meaning we're all represented in that one cup, that fifth cup represents us collectively as opposed to each individual having their own cup, we then share with each other both the joys and the sorrows of life. We rejoice in each other's moments of happiness. We strengthen each other in moments of distress. Then we are bringing ourselves and mankind and Am Yisrael nearer to redemption. So having one central cup on the table represents this is our collective experience and our shared journey. And that's what really being a Jew is made up of. We all have our own unique experience as a Jew. But Imeina Nili Mili, fellow said, that's true. So you have your own cup of wine. Right? Im ein ani li midi. However, ukisha ani la atzmi, ama ani. If I'm only to myself, then what am I? That's represented. I'm bringing the Mishnah from Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Dr. Twersky doesn't touch upon it, but I think it relates very beautifully to this idea. That's funny. Kain Asa Hillel was mentioned based on Mikdash Hayakayam, okay? I wasn't thinking of that when I brought up the Mishnah in the name of Hillel. But it is he who teaches him, Eina Nili Mili. So you have to be Yotze the Mitzvah, your own individual cup, represents your own Sivlos Mitzrayim. It represents your own, hopefully, Votseisi, Vitsalti, Vigaalti, Vilakachti. But then you have to know if you want to reach the ultimate redemption, which is represented by Vehevesi, the fifth cup is a national journey where we share in each other's shared experiences. Your joy is my joy. Your sorrow, Rachman al-Tzal, we should never know, will be my sorrow. Your pain, I'm the Chabad Rabbi in Be'er Sheva, and I'm dedicated to running the soup kitchen, not for accolades, not for fame, but because of this elderly people and poor people in this city who need me. so I'm going to put my everything into feeding them. That represents the shared geula, and that's why we have one single cup as we conclude Yetzias Mitzrayim and begin talking about the geula hasida. When we share in each other's joys and sorrows, when we rejoice in happiness and strengthen each other in distress, quote, then we bring ourselves and mankind, and I'm adding Am Yisrael, closer to redemption. Hence, the Shvoch HaMascha and the Kosha Eliyah, which will precede redemption, is represented by one shared cup, not our own individual cup. I'm now going to quote, you know, my son told me that Rav Kielsen gave the Vod Monday night in Yeshiva Darchei Torah. Rav Kielsen said that it is impossible to be masvid Rav Chaim. It's impossible to be masvid him. And he said that the only thing he could say is we have to have different sorrows. It's impossible to be masvid. And that the only thing he could say, he said, is that what they said about the Chofetz Chaim. When the Chofetz Chaim was nifter, Zchusu Yagen Aleinu, they said before it was a world with the Chofetz Chaim, now it's a world without the Chofetz Chaim. So Rav Kielsen said before it was a world with Rav Chaim, and now it's a world without Rav Chaim. And then my son told me the next day, Rav Brudi Shlita spoke in yeshiva, and he said when he heard the bitter news, he took upon himself, I'm talking about Rav Shiva here, so he took upon himself, he said, I am not going to be masvid Rav Chaim. It's impossible in words to be masvid such an Adam Gadol. And he said, Rav Brudni said he was from a different door. He says, for sure he was from before World War II, perhaps even before World War I. Hashem did us such a chasad that he put us into our generation, into our low generation that we are Zocha. So if the Gadol Yisrael say it's impossible to be masvid Rav Chaim, Michal Arts for sure has nothing to say. Excuse me. What I'm going to do is quote from my daughter's email that she sent after she attended the Levaya. I'm not just quoting from its stam. It relates to this idea that Rabbi Dr. Twersky said we must share in each other's happiness and sorrow if we want to bring the redemption as symbolized by a single cup of wine for the fifth Lashon Geula. Okay. We were told by the Madrichot, she's in Benos Avigayo, which is on the Neve campus. It is Rabbi Cass and Rebbetzin Tzipora Heller Gottlieb Seminary. We were told by the Madrichot before we left that our phones won't work. The country basically shut down. It's very likely we will get lost. Mrs. Cass said, if you can't find the Benos Avigayel buses back to Yerushalayim, quote, get back to Yerushalayim any way you can. Rabbi Tzipora Heller Gottlieb told us, I was very happy. I actually emailed the school Motzei Shabbos. I was concerned. Don't try to get close and don't push through the crowds. It's not safe. The only thing you'll see is more black hats. So watch by the screen set up in the city and stay safe. The school got two coach buses. Baruch Hashem, they were able to. Many schools could not attend because every bus in the country was booked. Again, I'm not just reading my daughter's email, but I think it really, as you'll see as I go through it, relates to this idea of sharing, of drinking from one coast. We are one people, despite the fact that we each have our own individual pekel or an individual cup. We must drink from a shared cup. We got on the bus. The drive was good. They left Yerushalayim at 8:30 in the morning. Not a lot of traffic. We parked on the highway. I'm sure, like me, everybody saw that Highway 4 was shut down and it became the parking lot. We parked on the highway and we walked into the Bnei Brak. Me and four friends, when I was very happy she did this, decided to make buddies so at least the five of us would not get separated or lost. This next part's hysterical. We started walking, following the crowd. There were still people from my seminary, so we were good. But then there weren't. It was pretty crowded. It was 10 a.m. We continued walking and following the crowd until we realized the crowd was only men. We were in the men's section at Rav Chaim's Levaya. Many of the men were not very happy. One guy was telling us something about Sneas and covering his eyes. She says, we felt very bad. We knew we weren't supposed to be there, but it was not fair to the man. We didn't have anywhere. We couldn't go. We were in the middle. We walked some more. We ended up on the street that leads to Rav Chaim's shul. We went under an apartment building. Everybody knows what the apartments, what Bnei Brak looks like, to regroup and to think, what could we do? We wanted to go to the balcony, but we couldn't. Quote, the porches were packed with families. A bunch of guys climbed up onto a tree to get a better view. So here we are, the five of us girls, under an apartment building, across the street, literally, she writes, from Rav Chaim's house and shul. Wow. Wow. I don't even know how we ended up there. She's literally standing close to me. There were a million people there. I said, Tamara, it's such a story of Hashkacha Pratis. And 800,000 people, Hashem took you right across the street. We tried to go up to the roof to get a better view, but we couldn't. There were police. There was chaos. Someone broke a window on the staircase, yelling from the police. It wasn't safe. There was nowhere to go. We went back down. At the bottom of the steps, a very nice man from Neve Yaakov saw us, and he said, you have an amazing spot. If you stay here, you won't die. That sounded promising, so we stayed. In the back, there were four other women, and one of them said, how did you get so close? There were barriers, and no one was allowed through to this point. I was totally confused because nobody stopped us. So she's right across the street from the Letterman Show and Zatzal Rav Chaim's apartment. It was incredible and a big schuss to be able to be so close. Standing on chairs, we were able to see a little bit over people's heads. I even got to see the car, exclamation mark, meaning the car with the mita and that was carrying the nifter. It was so beautiful to see so many Jews together, all honoring Rav Chaim and Torah. At times, the chaos was a little scary. People were jumping over the fence. The police were screaming, Sakanas Nefashos. I didn't even realize how big the crowd was because I saw people under the building. I couldn't see past that. We stayed with those few other women in the back of the building. We got to walk Dalet Amos with the nifter, with the car. After the car got further down the street, the crowd by us started to disperse. I couldn't believe. We went up to the fence and I saw the people in the streets. I don't think I was ever with this many Jews in one place. I stood on a cart and I was able to have a total clear view of Rav Chaim's house. Now we started to try and find our way back. We sat on a little ledge and we watched hundreds of people walk past us. When we were ready, we continued walking. They're trying to get back to the highway now. I saw so much chesed as I walked. It was beautiful. Mi ka'am chayisra, I'm quoting directly. Everywhere you looked, people set up tables. They had coffee, tea, water, snacks, and fruit. Everywhere there were signs saying, if anyone needs a bathroom, please come into our home. It was so special to see. We made it out of Bnei Brak back to the highway. They couldn't find our bus. Someone managed to call Robertson Sipar Heller Golib. She directed us. Our bus couldn't get through. At this point, none of the buses could move. Robertson and Rabbi Golib got them pizza. The traffic out of Bnei Brak was insane. You can imagine. It was a very special day, and I'm very grateful to be there. So Rabbi Dr. Twersky says that our individual cups of life may differ. I'm going back and quoting from his Haggadah. Some being more fortunate and some less so. And that's represented in your individual Arba Kosos. But if we remain totally distinct, we are not bringing Am Yisrael closer to the ultimate redemption. When we drink of a single cup, when we pour one cup, that represents Geula. Because what does that represent? As one nation, we come together in times of joy. And in times of sorrow, we rejoice with each other in moments of happiness. We strengthen each other in moments of distress. We are then bringing ourselves and mankind closer to God and closer to the redemption. And I think that this idea is so powerful and so impactful because sometimes we're so busy with our own lives and everyone's lives are very, very busy. With good, with difficult, with running, with going, with coming. So much to take care of. But we must remember that we are one shared nation. And that's what Haman said. Yeshno am echad mefuzer u'mefurad bein ha'amim. What is the first thing he said? Yeshno am echad. And Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb quotes a Gevaldik Medrash in the Majesty and Mystery Haggadah. What did Haman say? Yeshno am echad mefuzer mefurad bein ha'amim v'daseim shonos michol am v'estasei ha'melech einam osim v'lo melech eino shove lahanicham. Imal ha'melech tov v'kasev la'abdam aseres alfim kesev eshkol ginzei ha'melech. Achshver says, keep the money, you're doing me a favor, very nice. They sit down to have a drink. What does he say? Yeshno am echad mefuzer or mefura. There is one nation who is scattered and dispersed. B'chom midoros malchusecha, in all provinces of your kingdom. The doseim shonos mikol am, their religion is different than all other religions. Es doseim melech enam osim, and the religion of the king they don't do. It's not worth it to keep them. Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, Zichron Avracha, quotes a Gevaldik Medrash that says, what Haman prosecuted us with us down here, the angel Michael defended us up above. Haman said, there is one nation. accusing us. Michal said to God, they recognize they are one nation. Haman said they're scattered and dispersed. Michal said they might be scattered and dispersed. They remember that they're unified. Haman said they don't keep the laws of the king. Michal said, look, Ribon Hashem, they don't keep the laws of that king because they keep your laws. How do we plead to the charge of Haman, says Rabbi Dr. Noaman Lam? We are guilty as charged. And woe to the Jew, says Rabbi Dr. Noaman Lam, who seeks to absolve himself of this charge. We should be proud of the charge. It is correct. We are Am Echad, and even though we are Mefuzer and Mefurad, that one Kol Shel Eliyahu represents our shared national destiny, sharing in each other's pain and joy and happiness and sorrow. I was preparing this shiur very, very late last night. And I must thank Riva Wayman, who sent me this little video clip. So I'll be honest, I don't always watch video clips if you send them to me. It's not personal, I just don't have time. But this one was from Rabbi Zev Lef. So Riva Wayman wrote, in light of some of your recent shiurim, I think you will appreciate this short video by Rabbi Zev Lef. So that Jubian, I went for a fast walk last week or the week before. So my son came home very late. He said, how was your day? So I said, good, I had time for a fast walk. So he says, so what did Rabbi Zev Lef say? So I watched the video. And then when I was preparing the shiur, I realized it ties in so nicely to what we're speaking about, one Koshel Eliyahu representing Jews coming together. So I'm quoting verbatim because I paused the screen after every statement. I paused before every statement to typo, but he said. Okay, so Rabbi Zev Lef Shlita said, there are those who are sitting and learning. And these people feel what they are doing is right. And everyone else is second class citizens. There were subtitles at the bottom, even though he was speaking in English. So I definitely got it right because I was reading what it said on the bottom. There are people who feel what they are doing is right and everyone else is second-class citizens, the learners. Or the opposite, there's communities that feel if you're sitting and learning Torah, if you're in kollel full-time, you're a batel, you're doing nothing, and whatever, or you're a parasite. And the people who are paying their way, they're the ones who are doing what's proper. I have a typo. Could I have your pen for a minute, please? Thank you so much. They're the ones who are doing what is proper. Thank you. Said Rabbi Zev Lef, neither is right. So you have Kolo Yungleit, he said, in certain communities who think what we're doing is right, everyone else is second-class citizens. On the other hand, he said, you have people who work who feel that anyone who's learning a Kolo and anyone learning full-time, they're wasting their time, they're loafers, they're doing nothing, we're right. Neither is right, said Rabbi Zev Lef. There's a need for both of them, and we have to work together. The Sfarno, he quotes the Sfarno, who says, I didn't look it up, the Sfarno says the menorah, which we spend so much time talking about in the Mishkan, represented this idea. There were three branches to the right. These three branches represent the people learning Torah full-time. Then there were three branches to the left. They represent the people who combine Torah learning with a worldly occupation. But how are the candles all supposed to face? Al mul pnei ha-menorah ya'iru shivas ha-neros. What is mul pnei ha-menorah? Tetzava, the beginning of Tetzava. The menorah is the central shaft. So all of the lights, the three lamps on the right and the three lamps on the left, all have to face the middle. The three on the right, says the Sfarno, represent what I'm going to call the learners. The three on the left represent what I'm going to call the earners. But how are they all supposed to face, says the Sfarno, when they all face the middle, which is the light of Hashem, then that light spreads to Klai Yisrael from both sides of the menorah. And Rabbi Lef says, and I like to add to that, when they face the middle, not only is the light of God diffused throughout Knesset Israel, but, quote, they face each other. When each one can respect the other side, then the light of Torah goes to the whole Klal Yisrael. So if we want to bring the redemption, if we want to bring Eliyahu and Navi Zachur Latav, who will announce the coming of the Mashiach, Hinei Zer Bo Yam Hashem HaGadol VeHanora, If we want to announce that the coming of Mashiach is here with Eliyahu Navi, when we pour that close, we have to remember that a shared unity means we have different paths. Not every member of Klal Yisrael does the exact same thing, is busy with the exact same thing, but as long as you're on the menorah, facing the Ribbono Shel Olam, the middle central shaft, which is the wisdom of Torah, and facing members of Klal Yisrael, then that light is diffused through the entire nation. Okay, so that's Rabbi Zev Lev. Now I move, so that was all based on everything we just spoke about, was based on Rabbi Dr. Twersky, and then we went to my daughter's email, and then we spoke about Rabbi Zev Lev. Now I move to Rav Salve, and we spoke about Am Echad, and Haman, and the Medrash, as quoted by Rabbi Dr. Lev. Medrash Yalkut Shimoni quotes. Okay, Rav Salvechuk, Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechuk, the Rav Zatzal. Halal over the fourth cup. At this point, we pour the fourth cup. Some pour before Shvach HaMascha, and some pour the fourth cup after. I'm not talking about the Kosher Eliyahu. I'm talking about your individual fourth cup of Halal. You had one by Kiddush, one by Magid, one by Benching, and now you're going to have one now. That's the final and fourth cup of Halal. So you pour before Shvach HaMascha or after, depends on your minhag. But at this point in time, by Shvach HaMascha, the fourth cup is poured. The fact that halal over the fourth cup, says Rabbi Salvechuk, refers not to Geula Mitzrayim, but to the Geula Asida. It refers to our future redemption. Explains why it is preceded by Shvach HaMascha. Pour out your wrath upon the nations. We pray for a future redemption. And he quotes from Aleinu, where we may soon see your mighty splendor. We ask Hashem, Laha'avir gelulim min ha'aretz, to remove the detestable idols from upon the earth. And false gods will be utterly cut off. Our central hope is, quote, to see the whole world joining Knesset Yisrael and accepting God as king. As long as the elements, Amamlachos, Asher Lo Yuda'ucha, do not accept the Ribbono Shel Olam, there cannot be Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, as long as they don't accept His sovereignty. This is the central theme of the Rosh Hashanah Malchios prayer. Let everything that has been made know that you are the maker. There are people who are not ready to accept God as sovereign over the whole world, and they obstruct the realization of our hopes. That is what we are davening for, the destruction in this passage of Shvach HaMascha. They purposely and tenaciously fight against the idea of the Geula Asida. They purposely and tenaciously fight against the Geula Asida. You have a Putin today. You have the terrorists in Be'er Sheva today. You have those who want to destroy us today. A single nation should not be able to hold up the Geula Asida. He means, how is it that a single people, today we have Amalek, we have the Umma Shalom who want to destroy us, a single nation should not be able to prevent, to hold up the Geula Asida. Because they are not ready to accept the truth and participate in Tikkun Olam b'Malchus Shakai. Tikkun Olam through Malchus Shakai. Repairing the world through accepting the sovereignty of God. They should simply be removed. That's Shvach HaMascha. We have to combat evil. But sometimes evil does not let itself be defeated. And if evil will not allow itself to be defeated, if evil will not submit to God, if evil will not humble itself before the Ribbono Shel Olam, then what is the solution? I still remember we spoke about the Malshinim. Is that why you're striving? Okay. So what is the solution? The solution is Shvach HaMascha ala goyim asher lo yada'ucha va'al mamlachos asher lo karu b'shemecha. At a certain point in time, there is no hope for repair. And if these nations and ideologies are holding up the ultimate redemption, then we dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam that they should be eradicated. If a 30-year-old ex-convict can go in the street of Be'er Sheva on a sunny afternoon in Medinat Yisrael and Tavshin Pei Beis and murder the first victim was by the gas station, the 43-year-old woman. The video shows, I did not watch any of the videos, also covered on Iftar, and it's very difficult to watch such things. She was trying to fight back. She was going to meet her husband, 43 years old. And he rammed his car into the Chabad rabbi, 48 to 50 years old. I saw different quotes. A person who dedicates his whole life to the Tzar Chet Tzibur. And then he went to the shopping mall and he killed the other 49-year-old woman. by the entrance to a clothing shop, and finally a 67-year-old man. And we know, Rachmana Litzlan, how we feel when there is one staggering loss, when there is one patira. Multiply this by four. Sometimes evil, says Rav Soloveitchik, will not be ready to accept the truth. They will not participate in Tikkun Olam B'Malchus Shakai. They purposely and tenaciously fight against the idea of the Geula Asida. So we are not a cruel people, but Bavahar Gachal Hashkei Mohargo. At a certain point, when these people will not be humbled and they will not allow their hearts to change, then what other option is there? At this point, we say, Shvoch Hamascha, pour out your wrath upon the nations that refuse to know you. And we continue with,
thank
you. And we continue with, what are the very next words after Shvoch Hamascha? I told you, it's in Halal, but already in the middle of Halal. What paragraph are we up to? Lo Lanu. Hashem, lo lanu, ki l'shimcha tein kavod. So of course, that's not an accident. So if Soloveitchik says, we're not saying, shvach hamascha l'goyim asher l'du'ucha, because we want honor, because we want glory. We're saying, if you're not doing it for us, asei l'man shemecha, asei l'man kedusha secha, asei l'man torah secha. If you're not doing it for us, do it for you, Ribono Sha'olam. And that's why the Rav says, the very next words that we begin Hallel with are lo lanu. It's not for us, Hashem. Lo lanu, ki l'shimcha tein kavod. Al chastecha, al amitacha. Have mercy on your name, on your truth. Emes is one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lama yarmu ha-goyim ayena elokeim. Why should the goyim say, where's your God? You must not have a God. That's what many of the Ummah Solom said during the Shoah. Your God has abandoned you. Why should the nations of the world say, where is their God? So that is Rav Soloveitchik, quoting from the Seder night, an exalted eating. Should I just keep it? I now quote from Rav Yaakov Bender Shlita. Rav Chaim Volozhiner asked his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, to whom will Mashiach come? Right, so we've already seen that this is the Geula Asida Halal. We're talking about the future redemption. We're talking about the fifth coast. We're talking about Eliyahu HaNavi Zachru L'Tov. We're talking about a time in the end of days when it will finally happen. Rav Chaim Volozhiner, this is from the Rav Yaakov Bender Haggadah, Rav Chaim Volozhiner asked his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, to whom will Mashiach come? Every generation is sinking lower and lower. Nishamos seem to dim with each passing year. How can a nation that is so weak hope to see the redemption? You might think to yourself, if Rav Chaim could not bring the Geula, I don't mean that he couldn't be, but obviously we in this generation with him here could not bring the Geula. If the Chavetz Chaim could not bring the Geula, if the Chassam Sofer could not bring the Geula, if the Rambam couldn't bring the Geula, so you might think to yourself, how could we bring the Geula? When will Mashiach come? Why are we opening up the door for Eliyahu HaNavi? Is he ever going to come into the door, actually? And every year the neshamas seem to dim. There's a concept called the Yiridus Hadoros with each passing generation. How can a nation that is weak hope to see the redemption? The Vilna Gaon replied that this question was addressed by the Medrash. In Tani Devei Eliyahu, the attributes of Hashem are listed. So we know there are different attributes, the most famous being the Yud Gimel Ikar Midos Harachamim, the 13 attributes of God that Hashem revealed to Moshe and Kitisa in the aftermath of the sin of the golden calf. Amongst the attributes of God listed in Tani Devei Eliyahu, Hashem is referred to as Sameach Bechalko. Now we think we have to be Sameach Bechalko. Perkei Avos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Aleph. The Mishnah famously says, Ezu Ashir, Sameach Bechalko. Interestingly, in Tani Devei Eliyahu, this is the Gra answering of Chaim of Volozhiner, Chusam Yagen Aleinu. One who is Sameach Bechalko is the Ribono Sha'olam. Hashem is happy with his lot. What kind of praise is that? What does that mean? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns all. He is the Borei Olam. He fashions and creates all. He is the owner of all. The whole world is his. What does it mean he's happy with his lot? Asks the Vilna Gaon. The answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejoices with his chelak. His chelak being Am Yisrael, his nation. Ezu Ashia Samech Bechalko, Ribono Shel Olam Samech Bechalko. His nation in each generation as they are brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu Simcha, so to speak. He derives the very same pleasure and delight from the avoda of simple people like us, as he did from our illustrious ancestors. He derives the same pleasure from this generation as he did from men of great learning and saintliness of generations past. He will bring Mashiach to a generation who can serve him on their level, as long as we're striving to serve him the best we can on our level. So that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam desires from us, and that is what he is. He is Samech B'chalko, the nation that he has at that time in that door. Of course, he gives us Gedolim to help bring us up. He gives us a Rav Chaim in this generation to bring us up. But we do our best, and we face our challenges, and he rejoices in our hard work, just as he did in the hard work of the Gaonim and the Rishonim. So we cannot become dejected when we open the door. Oy, another year? Was this year any better than the last year? Okay, Baruch Hashem, the pandemic, Bli Ayin Hara, seems to be Bli Ayin Hara winding down. Now we look at the world stage, and it doesn't seem to be any better than it was last year. Hashem Yirachim Aleinu. And it's a difficult time, and you open the door, and you think, am I going to bring the Mashiach? Mashiach didn't come, and Rav Chaim was here. How's the Mashiach going to come now? Before it was a world with the Chavetz Chaim, said Rav Kielsen, now it's a world after the Chavetz Chaim. He said, that's the only thing we could be master. You can't even encapsulate, you can't even verbalize, you can't even appreciate the magnitude of who he was and what his Torah was. So I'm going to bring the Gulas. Rav Yaakov Ben writes, a person cannot have Yeyush. You can't open the door by this point in time and say, I Mashiach is never going to come. Why? Because for every generation on their level, Hashem is a Sameach B'chalko. He knows our door. He knows our challenges. He knows our struggles. He knows the world in which we're living. And it's not the same as the world the Chafetz Chaim was living in. They had their struggles. We have ours. But Sameach B'chalko is, interestingly, one of the attributes of God. Very fascinating. And he takes delight in joy in each every generation as it is. Now I move on to Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks. Before I begin with Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, there's two times a year we say Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim HaBnuya. Only two times a year. I mean, you could sing it whatever you want. But Yom Kippur, the two holiest nights of the year, Le'el Yom Kippurim and Korban Pesach Zera at the end. And at this point, we're moving, now makes sense. Why do we conclude with that? Because remember, what is this second half of Hallel referring to? Not Yetzias Mitzrayim, but says Rav Soloveitchik, it's referring to the Geula Asida, the future redemption. Okay? Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks says as follows. Yaakov's dying request was to be buried. We spoke about this. Mimi, remember, I spoke about this. We spoke about Yeshiva House. The dying request. Okay. So I'm going back to something we spoke about by Sefer Bereishis. Yaakov's dying request was to be buried in what would later become the land of Israel. And Yosef, at the end of his life, gathered his family, and he said to them, Elokim pakod yivkod aschem, v'ha'ela eschem min ha'aretz hazos, ela aretz asher nishba la'avram li'yitzchak u'li'akov. And Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks says, Yosef's last recorded words, we had a whole shiur on this back in Bereishis, Yosef's last recorded words were, pakod yivkod elokim aschem, v'alisam esetz mosai mizeh. What were his last recorded words? We had a whole shiur on it, Eretz Yisrael. This charge was eventually carried out by Moshe on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Famous Medrash. Everybody's leaving, and what's Moshe doing? Ale Shur. He's busy looking for the Atzmos Yosef. So that too is an integral part of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Moshe would not leave Mitzrayim until he found the bones of Yosef, and they slept them into the desert for 40 years till they came to Shechem. What does this have to do with Shvo Chamascha and this hollow for the Geula Asida and Lashana Babi Yerushalayim Habnuya, which is all the conclusion of Le'el Seder? So I really start, I said the next 2 weeks, I hope to be also Le'el Seder. I start at the end. Now we're probably going to go back to something in the beginning. But again, unfortunately, the impetus for this year was the terror attack in Be'er Sheva on Tuesday. Wherever Jews were scattered, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, they saw their condition as galut, exile, rather than mere dispersion, tufutzot. It's not merely that we're dispersed, like Haman said. We're in exile. That is a much stronger connotation. There were places like Germany where Jews lived, says Rabbi Sacks, for 1,000 years. There were other places like Babel, Babylonia, where there was a continuous Jewish settlement for 2,500 years. Yet Jews saw themselves and were seen by others as being here, but belonging elsewhere. In Galut, we see ourselves as being here, but belonging elsewhere. This did not mean, as our critics claim, that we are not loyal. Few groups are as loyal to the societies and non-Jewish rulers in which they live as the Jews. They made magnificent contributions to the nations in which they lived, and whenever possible, they added vastly to the arts, science, medicine, and economy. However, no, not yet, but since the days of Yirmiyahu, says Rabbi Lord Sachs, they remembered Yirmiyahu's instruction. In Yirmiyahu, Perach of Tes, Pasuk Zayin, I once gave a shir that spoke about this. V'dirshu es shalom ha'ir, Yirmiyahu said, when you go into exile, seek the peace of the city where you'll be living. Asher higleis yaschem shama, where I have exiled you to, says God, seek the peace of that city. V'hispalalu ba'ada al Hashem, pray to God for the peace of the city of your exile. Ki b'shloma yelocham l'shom, when that city's in peace, you will have peace. So we are not unloyal citizens. We are not people of treason. We are not looking to usurp the government and have a coup and overthrow them. But they always knew at some date in the future, the Jewish people would return home. They never mistook the immediate for the ultimate. They never mistook the immediate. In the immediate, I'm here now, for the ultimate. Lo lanu Hashem, lo lanu, ki l'shimcha tein kavod. And how is that preceded? Shvach hamascha l'agayim asher lo yadu'ucha. And how do we conclude? The shana abba b'Yerushalayim habnuya. Because this is the cause of vehevesi. There is no vehevesi. There is no el ha'aretz v'shalom. As long as those goyim who do not know you continue to exist. And there can be no halal hagadol over the ultimate redemption as long as those nations continue to exist. And there can be no Lashana Habab Yerushalayim Habenuya as long as those nations continue to exist. They never mistook, says Rabbi Lord Sachs, the immediate for the ultimate. It was this more than anything that preserved their identity as a distinct people. It was this more than anything that sustained our hope during the long centuries of exile and expulsion. It preserved Jews against the internal decay that destroyed every other civilization. Every other civilization is plagued by forgetfulness of the past, heedlessness of the long-term future, and the loss of moral purpose in the pursuit of the here and now. Those elements lead to the decline of culture after culture. I'll repeat it. Forgetfulness of the past, heedlessness against the long-term future, and a loss of moral purpose because you pursue the here and now. The sense of galut was the Jewish immune system. What kept us immune from this deterioration was the remembrance that we are always in galut. It meant that the past and the future, the Jewish Commonwealth, when we had sovereignty and Bate Mikdash, the past, and the future, when Be'ezrat Hashem, the whole end of the Haggadah will come to fruition, are as real to us as the present. And this has saved the Jewish nation from the ravages of time. I really want to finish. 1 second, please. Rav Shimon Schwab, Zatzal, Baruch Atah Hashem, Bonei Berachem Av Yerushalayim, Amen. Bonei Berachem Av Yerushalayim. We say in the Birkos HaMazon, Hashem is the Bonei Berachem Av, He builds with His mercy Yerushalayim. Why is this blessing in the present tense and not in the future tense? It should be Yibana HaMikdash, Yibana Yerushalayim. At some point in time, you will rebuild the temple. Why is it in the present tense, as if God is currently, right now, rebuilding Yerushalayim? Lashana Bab Yerushalayim HaBenuya. You're constantly building it now. In truth, our long galus, throughout our long galus, says Rav Schwab, Hashem is actively in a continuous process of rebuilding Yerushalayim. This is analogous, he says, to the construction of a massive building, which begins with digging a deep pit into the ground. The foundations are laid in that deep pit. The depth of the foundation and the size of the foundation must be proportionate to the size of the building. Similarly, so we're going to have a huge grand edifice. It needs a very strong and deep foundation. Similarly, all of the experiences and the travails of the Jewish people in exile, and we just quoted Rabbi Lord Sachs about exile, form the pit that is being dug upon which the strong foundations and the massive edifice of the ultimate future holy city of Yerushalayim will be built. In that sense, Hashem has been rebuilding Yerushalayim from the time of its destruction until this day, and will continue to do so until the coming of Mashiach. I will conclude with a thought from Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal to the Haggadah Shal Pesach. All thematic with Shvach HaMascha, the ultimate Geula, Koshel Eliyahu, and everything we have spoken about today. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha, Zchuso Yagen Aleinu, says, the sages teach, I need a couple of minutes, okay, don't leave. The sages teach that Eliyahu HaNavi will come before Mashiach comes for three reasons. Okay? Hine Anochi Sholech Hacham Es Eliyahu HaNavi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol VaNora. Eliyahu HaNavi will come before the day of God. So Eliyahu HaNavi Zachor L'Tav, for which we pour this cup by Shvach HaMascha, will come before Mashiach comes for three reasons. Chazal say, one, he will make peace in the world. Mishneh Edios. Two, he will resolve all our questions in Torah, Maseches Menachos, famous, Teiku, Tishbi, Barakush, Yosevayos. Three, he will tell us Mashiach is coming the next day, Maseches Erevin. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come before Melech HaMashiach comes for three reasons. One, he will bring peace to the world. Two, he will resolve all our unanswered questions. And three, he is coming to tell us Mashiach is coming the next day. Rav Chaim notes that these three purposes are contained in a verse that describes Eliyahu's arrival. The pasuk says in Yeshayahu, "Ma navu al haharim raglei mivaser, mashmiya shalom mivaser tov, mashmiya Yeshua, omer letzion malach elokayach." Okay, Nun Beis Zion. Say for Yeshayahu, chapter Nun Beis pasuk. Why am I saying like that? Parak Nun Beis, Pasuk Zayim. Okay, Ma Navu Al HaHarim Raglei Mivaser. How pleasant, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the Mivaser. Who's the Mivaser? Hine Mivaser, Mivaser V'Omer, Eliyahu HaNavi. Why is he called Mivaser? He's coming with Besura. He's coming with good news. He's coming to tell us something. Besuros Tovos. Ma Na'avu Al HaHarim Raglei Mivaser. How pleasant are the feet of the Mivaser upon the mountains. Mashmiya Shalom, he will bring peace, like the Mishnah says in Adios, one of the purposes of Eliyahu HaNavi is to bring peace to the world. Mivaser Tov, how does that correspond to he will resolve all our questions in Torah? Ein Tov Ela Torah, says the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Vav. So Mivaser Tov is he will give us good news in regard to Tov. What's Tov? Torah. He will answer all our resolved questions in regard to Torah. Mashmiya Yeshua, which is the third purpose of Eliyahu HaNavi, he will let us know that the redemption is coming the next day, concludes the pasuk, Omer Letzion Malach Elokayach. And at that time, Eliyahu HaNavi will say, the Mivaser will say to Tzion, I have brought peace, I have resolved your questions through Torah, Mashiach is coming tomorrow, and Omer Letzion Malach Elokayach. Says Rav Chaim, the Mivaser, which refers to Eliyahu, Mashmiya Shalom will announce peace, he will make peace in the world. Mivaser Tov, this refers to teaching Torah. Mashmiya Yeshua, he will announce salvation by announcing to us the imminent arrival of Mashiach Tzidkenu. Halavai, we should talk a bizoch, a Lashana Hazos, not only be Yerushalayim, but Lashana Hazos, be Yerushalayim HaBenuya. This year is dedicated to Zecher Nishmasam, not Liluy Nishmasam, they don't need it, but the Zecher Nishmas. Doris Yabas, 49, mother of three. Laura Yitzchak, 43, mother of three. Menachem Yecheskel, 67, brother of four. Moshe Kravitsky, 48, Chabad rabbi and director of the soup kitchen. And we daven Shvoch Hamascha al Hagoyim Asher lo yudaucha, v'amam lachos Asher b'shimcha lo karau, ki ochal as Yaakov, v'es naveyu Hashemu, Shvoch aleihem za'amecha, v'charon apcha yas. Sea game, Tirdof Ba'af, the Sashmidem, Mitachas, Shemei Hashem. Amen, Amen. Thank you. I wish you a good Shabbos, Pesuros Tovos. And remember, next week, Bezor Hashem, I plan to do another section of the Agada. Thank you.